Good evening, everybody. It is so good to see each and every one of you here tonight, especially when the weather was a little bit questionable. And I don't know about you, but rainy weather makes me sleepy. And you guys braved the weather. And even if you're sleepy, I'm going to wake you up. So why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here tonight. I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're here. All right. Well, it is great to be here with you tonight. And we're going to talk about a couple of things together. And the title of my message is called Worth the Wait. So I don't know if you've waited for something ever, but we're going to kind of talk about that today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn in a moment to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll read that together in just a moment. Father God, thank you so much for this awesome church. God, thank you for the brothers and sisters that are here. God, that week by week encourage each other. And Lord, thank you for what you want to do tonight. Would you start in each heart, God, mine included. God, what you want to speak, what you want to say, God, that it will be so clear. And God, we thank you in advance for the seeds that you are planting, for the good work that you're doing. And we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but as I said, sometimes the rainy weather makes me sleepy. If you've been around children, if you have children, or if you've ever had to babysit children, I'm sure there's moments when you feel extremely exhausted. Anybody ever feel like that? Yep. And sometimes, you never feel tired? Okay, June, I think you have. So I know with small children, whether you're babysitting them or whatever, there's moments when you feel extremely exhausted. And sometimes you don't get the very best sleep. And tonight I want to share with you a couple of people who were extremely sleep deprived and probably didn't make the best decisions or make because they were so tired. And I'm sure we all get that in this room tonight. If you have been around children, there are moments when you're just hoping you make it by. The story that I want to share with you tonight is a lady by the name of Amy. Now, Amy was so sleep deprived one day that she decided to lay her 6-month-old baby on the carpet in the morning when she got up. She went downstairs, laid the baby on the carpet, and then just grabbed her phone, grabbed her coffee like she normally would. No problem. The baby's enjoying the beautiful sunlight. The baby's in the living room near the patio door. So, so beautiful. And then a few minutes later, she has her coffee. The baby's playing and just, you know, making baby noises. And she also has a little dog, a little tiny dog. And the dog is also enjoying the beautiful sunlight. Well, as her normal routine each day, she would get up and, you know, after she had her coffee, she'd change the baby, change the pajamas, change the baby's diaper, and then go on with her day. Well, this day, I guess the coffee wasn't strong enough. So she went over by the door, reached down to grab the baby, and then go change the baby. Well, she didn't realize, because of her tiredness, she actually picked up the dog and started to put a diaper on the dog. Anybody in this room do that? Have anybody ever mistaken a child for a dog and put a diaper on the dog? I can't say I've done that, but I think there's moments sometimes when it could be possible. Then there's another lady by the name of Annie, and Annie had some car problems. And so she said to her husband one day, you know, on your way to work today, can you take the car to the garage? And have the mechanic look at it. And if you could leave your car home for me, that's great. So her husband took the car, and then he dropped it off at the mechanic. And then he ended up getting a shuttle service back to his work. So as he's going on about his day, his wife said, you know, I'm going to take the two kids out. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to go to the park. So she packs the kids up, goes to the park. They play. It's a beautiful time. Then when it's time for her to go back home, So the little baby wakes up and she realizes, I think we've had enough outside today. We're going to pack up and we're going to go home. She puts the baby back in the stroller, walks out to the parking lot, and in sheer panic says, where is my car? I mean, they live in a good neighborhood, and nobody would ever steal it. This lady went as far as calling the police and doing a police report. She didn't have her car. It was her husband's car that she brought. And it wasn't until her son said, Mommy, why can't we go home in Daddy's car? That she realized what she'd done. I can say there's moments when we all have done something without thinking and we've been tired. But I'm thankful for God's strength and how he helps us. Anybody else? God gives us strength even in those moments to help us through. As I said, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, and we will read that together. It will be on the screen as well. Maybe we can stand, if you can, as we read the scripture together. Okay, let's read together. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You may be seated. Tonight I want us to take a look at how doing good brings reward, doing good brings harvest, and doing good brings benefit. Upon arriving back in Antioch after his first missionary journey after 18 months on the road, Paul receives a report that the churches that he had started in Galatia had fallen into some hard times, and they had fallen into error. A group of Judaizers, those who sought to make living under the Mosaic law a requirement of the Christian faith, had gained an influence on the Galatian churches. It's through Paul's letter, which we just read, where he speaks wisdom and clarity into the first real controversy that plagued the church in the early years, the relationship between the Christian Jews and the Christian Gentiles. In this scripture, we see that Paul encourages us to pursue a life of holiness, not in our strength, but into the strength of the empowering grace in our lives that God provides. Paul explained why we should not give up on one another. Do not give up on doing good things or beautiful things because of the harvest. In the chapter just prior to the one we just read, Paul summarized that the works of the flesh, which are doing evil, and the fruit of the Spirit, which results in doing good. So doing good yields to the Spirit and showing the fruit that he produces. And the fruit of the Spirit, as we, most of us may know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And when those things are the center of our lives, doing good is inevitable. Everybody say that? Doing good is inevitable. Inevitable. That's kind of like a tongue twister. But doing good is inevitable when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. God chooses the best time, the due season, the proper time when we will see a harvest. It will pay off when the crops come in, so to say. I think he's referring to eternal life in Christ for the believer, and as well eternal life for those who may not know Christ yet. And he's also talking about the rewards given by God to those Christians who serve well. Have you ever had to wait for something for a long time? And I think every person in this room. Do you know, I was actually in a conference once, and it was about waiting. And I remember the presenter said, okay, we're just going to wait for a moment. And I'm telling you, the silence I think it was 30 seconds. Everybody felt so uncomfortable. It was just, let's just try it. Perfect. It can be hard, even if it's for just a short amount of time, because waiting is hard. I know for me, and I've mentioned this before, that if my cell phone battery will die, it seems like the longest 4 or 5 minutes. Do you guys have patience for that? I seem to struggle with waiting for my phone. Now, to be fair, I don't always have my phone, and a lot of times there's games played on my phone, and the battery goes down pretty quickly. But the waiting for it to charge up is a long time. Maybe you've taken a flight somewhere, or you're planning on going on a vacation to find out that your flight got canceled. Anybody have a delay ever? Yeah. Having delays is hard. And then the customer service person will say, oh, if you just go over in this line, we'll rebook you. And if you go to this phone, you can call and make arrangements. And it seems like a long, long time. You know, I'm learning that even in the moments that I'm waiting to trust God. Maybe you're waiting for something yourself. Maybe you're waiting for God to lead. Maybe you're waiting for God to respond or to direct you into something. And it seems like you just don't know what to do. Especially because we lack the ability to control the results. I mean, if we knew the results of what would happen, we'd probably be okay to wait. But I'm learning in my relationship with Christ that as I wait on Him, I will develop spiritually, and that's an important role for my life, that I can establish a deeper trust and knowledge of God. And the great thing is that we have the resources right inside of you through the Holy Spirit as you wait. You don't have to look anywhere else. You have that resource right inside of you. Waiting can be hard and painful and frustrating, but when we wait well, each day will birth some new spiritual fruit and blessings in your life. I'm encouraged by the words of in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, and I just want to share that with you. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, for which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You can count on it. Paul was inspired by the Spirit to provide us with a well-rounded picture of a healthy spiritual life. As we are obedient to Christ and we grow in our relationship with Him, we'll discover support from one another along the way. I work at a children's hospice, not too far from here, and an adult hospice. And I don't think 30 seconds within a conversation with someone, the question comes up, how do you do that? Why would you do that? That must be so difficult. And my answer is, yeah, there's days when it is difficult and it's hard. But I see the supports of what's provided to families, and it just really encourages my heart. And truly, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I don't know if maybe you're doing something or you're involved with something and you feel like, am I even making a difference? I keep doing and doing and doing, and I don't feel like there's any fruit. I just say, keep going. God sees what you're doing. He sees your heart, and He wants to bring out the fruit of what you're doing. When you trust Him and believe and put your complete trust in what He's going to do, the impact will be amazing. I want to share with you a story from a lady by the name of Megan McKenna, and she wrote a book, The Arrows of God, okay? And these are her words. There was a woman who wanted peace in the world, peace in her heart, and all sorts of good things. But she was really frustrated. The world seemed to be falling apart. As she read the news and listened to the radio, it seemed to be more depressing day after day. So one day, she went to the mall, one of my favorite places. She went to the mall and just went into a random store. As she walked into the store, she noticed the person behind the counter looked a lot like Jesus. When she finally got the courage, she said, "Are you Jesus?" "I am." "Do you work here?" "No, I actually own the store." "Oh, what kind of things do you sell in this store?" "Oh, just about anything." "Anything?" "Yes, anything you want." "What would you like?" "You know, I actually don't know." Jesus said to her, "Why don't you take a walk up and down the aisles, see what you like, come back with your list, and I'll see what I can do." So she did just that. She walked up and down the aisles, and she saw peace on earth. She saw no more war, no more hunger, peace in families, clean air, lots of resources. And so she was writing as fast as she could. And when she got back to where Jesus was at the counter, she said, "Here's my list." He looked it over and then looked back at her and said, "Let me see what I can do." He bent down behind the counter and pulled up some little packets. What do you think the packets were that he pulled up? He pulled up packets of seeds. You see, this is a catalog store. "You mean I don't get the finished product?" "No, this is a place of dreams. You come and see what it looks like. I give you the seeds. You plant the seeds. You go home, you nurture them, and help them to grow, and someone else reaps the benefit." "Oh," she said, and she left the store without buying anything. When I hear that story, it saddens my heart to know that Jesus had all of these seeds to give her and all the things that she wanted, but she didn't want to put the hard work into it. She just walked away. I mean, sometimes work is hard, especially when we begin to doubt if we're even making a difference. And sometimes it's true in our own lives, we get discouraged. But I can assure you that in due time, if we stick with it, if we do what God has called us to do in the proper season, we will see a harvest. Those seeds that God gives us and entrusts in our hands will make a big impact, a big difference. Secondly, doing good brings harvest. God is able to provide us with strength and joy and for the journey, everything that he's called us to do, to even endure to the very end. The thing is, God doesn't just give us something for today and tomorrow and forget about us the next day. He gives it right to the very end. And so the Apostle Paul encourages us not to be weary in doing good. Why? Why does he say that? Because quitting in the midst of weariness will cause us to miss out on the harvest that is produced from not being weary and giving up. I'm going to say that again. Because quitting in the midst of weariness will cause us to miss out on the harvest that is produced from not being willing, from not being weary and giving up. What kind of harvest are we guaranteed to reap? As Christians, there's present blessings that we can receive, such as the fruit of the Spirit, which we talked about, well-instructed believers, new followers to Christ, and mutual support. I don't know about you, but those things excite me. Mutual support by the body of believers that we are here with tonight, mutual support, new followers to Christ, like how exciting is that? It doesn't sound like you're excited. And the fruit of the Spirit. There's so many benefits. So many benefits. The fruit from the seeds that we have sown is the harvest we will reap. And if we remain faithful to the task that God puts in your hand, it's not a question of if we will reap, but when we will reap. In God's due time, his word never fails. You know, it's interesting that a farmer will have no harvest to gain if he gives up his labor in the fields or if he just completely gives up altogether. Jesus pointed out to the disciples that months elapse between planting and harvesting, and there are results. It's interesting that a farmer will plan for a whole year to bring in the harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I do know that there's a lot of planning. In the wintertime, you know, they're preparing the machinery. They're planting the seeds in the spring. They're cultivating and irrigating in the summer if necessary. It's a busy time, but all for one purpose, to bring in the harvest. When the crops are ready, all other work on the farm that could be done is not nearly as important as the harvest. Paul challenges the Galatians, and he challenges us to keep on doing good and to trust him for the results. The Bible is clear that the importance of the mission to go and spread the good news and our involvement in it, not just waiting for someone else to do it. So this week, at your work, at your school, in your home, where will you start to spread seeds? It could be as easy as a conversation with a neighbor or a friend. And my challenge to each of you tonight, as we plan ahead for next week for the big give, what an awesome opportunity to invite friends. We have it on our website, and you're welcome to share that on our Facebook group. And we have posters around. But there's nothing like having a personal invitation by somebody. And those are seeds that you plant. You're inviting someone to come along to an event where we are showing love as a community. And so I encourage you tonight, I challenge you, not just one person, but I'm going to even challenge you five people. How many people are you going to ask? Five. Oh, Pam said 10. Good. We'll see all the crew she's bringing on Saturday. Oh, great. Great. Perfect. 80. Awesome. So I encourage you, like, to really go this week and invite someone to come and be a part of the love that we want to share as a church. I'm encouraged by the words of John Wesley that says, "Lord, help me to do all the good I can, by all the means I can, in all the ways I can, in all the places I can, at all the times I can, to all the people I can, for as long as I can." Those are important words. Finally, tonight, doing good brings benefit. The last verse that we read in that scripture says, "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to believers, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Doing good brings benefit. The word good here, used here, also means generosity. Paul described all of us who are in Christ as a family of believers or a household of faith. In Christ, we're brothers and sisters, we're siblings. Doing good for others in our household is an investment that will pay off both now and for eternity. When Jesus fed the 5,000, both the saved and the unsaved participated. So the kindness of Christians should be not restricted. It shouldn't be. And so what a great opportunity this week to go and to share that. As in a home, family needs are met, and then those of our neighbors. What do you think Paul is encouraging to love Christians first? We're family. Spread more seed. Yeah. Paul is writing this in a time when the church was actually in a disagreement. And he's not saying that our faith shouldn't be a priority, but he's saying, what kind of example would we be if we ignored our family, the ones that we were living with, and while loving strangers at the same time? So it's just an encouragement for your family, but also to everyone else. In the original Greek, to not give up means to not desert. Believers are called to not desert one another, but to lift each other up in communion with God and in communion here together. I wonder today what our sacrifice will be to God. What are you willing to do this week? In closing tonight, I want to share with you a story that I will never forget. It's interesting how children can teach you a lesson. If anybody ever had a lesson that a child has taught you, and just a, such a simple truth, and it's kind of like, okay, God, I get it. When my husband was pastoring in Scarborough and we had three morning services, we had an 8 a.m. service, a 9:30 service, an 11:30 service, and actually we also had a 6 p.m. service, so I guess four services. We had a lot of services. Aren't you glad we don't have four services? But we did. We had the morning services, and Damon was a little boy. I think he was about three, and Kyla was just a baby in her car seat. And I remember wanting to leave church, get home, and feed them so that we could come back a little bit later. Mark was staying for a meeting at church, and we lived in Pickering, and I wanted just to get the kids in the car. They needed a nap, and then to go back to church. And I was tired. It wasn't a rainy day, but I was tired. And I remember getting off the 401 at White's, and there was a gentleman that had a sign asking for money. I was in the middle lane, and I was wanting just to move, keep moving. And I remember I could see Damon in the back seat, and he said, "Mommy, what does that sign say?" And I had said, "Well, this man doesn't have a job, and he's asking for money to help him." The light changed, turned green, and I started to go. And he said, "Mommy, aren't you going to give him any money?" In that moment, I knew no matter how tired I was, no matter how busy we were, or how many, where we had to be, to go back and to model for my son what we would do as followers of Christ. Now, that day, normally it would be easy to jump back on the 401. Unfortunately, that day, the westbound exit off White's was closed. Port Union was closed. I had to go back to Morningside. And I drove. And, you know, the whole time in the car, I'm thinking, he's probably going to fall asleep. And am I wasting my time? But he didn't. And I could see his little face. Scene was I actually going to give this man money? And so I went out of my way to drive back to show him an example of what Christ would want us to do. And it's interesting that in those moments, God speaks to us so clearly. Even when we're tired,